Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 29th day of February, Anno Domini 2020, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. We're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. First, we should welcome Dennis. Thank you, Dennis.
Hey, anytime.
Steve Ray, one step ahead of the law, somewhere in the Southwest. Hiding out with the Hole in the Head gang, and Dennis has generously stepped in to provide us his knowledge and expertise, which are vast. And of course, you could leap to the phone. See what I did there?
Yeah, I think I did.
Good. and give us a call while I read the news. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
So what is in the news?
Well,
not his humor.
Clearly not my humor. The coronavirus.
Okay.
Or as we know it now, COVID-19.
Right.
Because even the common cold is a coronavirus.
Okay.
So it really is COVID-19, excuse me. Electronics manufacturers face weeks of delay in part shipment because of COVID-19, the coronavirus. That could affect the availability of a number of tech products down the road. According to a survey released this week by electronics trade group IPC, roughly 65% of electronics makers have reported that suppliers told them that the COVID-19 outbreak would result in shipment delays. Most expect the delays to last 4 to 6 weeks. The IPC surveyed its members about COVID-19 last week and compiled the report based on 150 respondents. Those companies include suppliers, manufacturers, and sellers of products ranging from electronic lawnmowers or cars to smartphones or cable boxes. COVID-19 wreaked havoc on financial markets this week as fears mounted that the disease would become a pandemic. Some companies have warned investors that they could miss financial targets previously set for the quarter. The tech industry is especially vulnerable to issues in China because much of its supply chain and production is centered in that country. Because of the COVID-19 outbreak, many Chinese factories and suppliers were forced to remain closed longer than expected following the Chinese New Year holiday, and travel restrictions and quarantines for workers have hampered their ability to quickly return to full capacity. Some survey respondents said they're looking for other countries from which to source supplies, but that process can be long and complicated. Apple, for example, told investors last week it will likely miss its revenue projections for the quarter because COVID-19 is causing challenges for making and selling iPhones. Microsoft announced Wednesday that it also expects to fall short of its quarterly guidance for sales of Windows and Surface laptops because its supply chain is returning to normal at, quote, a slower pace than anticipated, unquote. Pretty much every component in every electronic device that you use is made in a country hit by COVID-19. It's hard to tell just how significantly the current delays will affect availability of finished tech products in the coming months. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is electronics makers can't get parts. Your choices are, oh no, my monthly iPhone replacement. What will I do with my tax return now? This is just temporary, right? My 10-year-old Win 7 machine is just fine, thanks. COVID what now? And, of course, others. So far, we've got about 44 votes in the poll, and this is just temporary, right, is number one. Of course, if you selected other or if you have more to say, like there's anybody here who doesn't, listening to us, who doesn't have more
yeah,
to say.
Really.
You can check us out at the forums at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. All you have to do is go there, scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. And under that, you'll see the forum. Second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, number one poll choice is electronics makers can't get parts. And only a couple people have said anything in there so far, but you can join us there. And, of course, as I said earlier, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And we are seeing that shipments are starting to slow down.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Actual manufacturing is starting to slow down.
Yeah, you know, even before we started hearing about COVID-19, it was more about Intel and their production capabilities overseas. And I know that where I was working, those things were blocking some shipments and taking things that would typically take a week or two to come in to take 4 to 5 weeks instead.
Yeah.
So I think this is kind of compounding the challenge that lots of people are feeling.
Because right. This could be months.
Yeah, it really is. And it's not just the items we think it is, right? I mean, it's not just tech stuff.
Right.
It's also, like I said in the news portion, it's everything from lawnmowers to you name it.
Sure. Clothing.
The clothes on your back. I mean, right. You can look at most labels nowadays.
Everything's made in China.
And it says they're made in China.
Yep.
Some food products and everything else. Supplements and everything.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a very long and involved process to ramp up a system like this. And truly, there are...
It's going to be a big challenge.
Massive number, right? Massive
we'll
number
how
of things that have to fall
out.
Into place.
Well, this is where hopefully a lot of places will learn a lesson, to put all their eggs in one basket instead of having a second fallback resource to
right.
perhaps you know be able to do it. It's just like oil. You know, we don't get oil from all one country. There's multiple countries that we can buy and trade from to get oil from.
Right. In general, diversification is kind of the name of the game.
Yeah.
And being dependent upon one supplier for anything is...
That's not good, but that's
risky.
But that's a whole trouble. Too many are so reliant now on parts because they're cheap.
They're cheap. Right. That's the big thing.
Yeah. So what? Matter of fact, you know, I've heard a lot of folks say, well, I can get it so cheap over there. You know, I can get... It there versus for say a buck a piece versus if I go over here I got to pay $2.50.
If you
know what, it would have been great if you had that fallback because
right.
Now don't cry and complain because your $1 items have now dried up.
Right, and now yeah, and now the pricing is you know $8.
Well, and yes, and it's not just China, it's Korea, it's Vietnam, it's the Philippines, it's pretty much. All over there, and any of those countries that you have manufacturing in, it has been hit.
And what one other thing I found interesting that I heard on the news and that was over there in China. You know, a lot of people go around with the mask on, anyways.
Right.
Yeah,
there
it's part of the culture.
There is such a shortage of masks now.
Right.
That they are starting to scalp and pay a premium price. For these paper masks.
Yep.
The companies that are making them are just, you know, charging phenomenal fees, you know, for what used to be pennies a mask.
Right.
Are now dollars a mask.
Yep. Yep. It's everywhere, and we're not sure how long this is going to last. Because although they've been saying it's calming down again, there are constant new outbreaks.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And
things
people
being
are
identified.
Getting reinfected who were cured.
Oh.
Or theoretically cured.
Or not infected.
Right.
Sure. Well, I was reading a very good article about this, and I'll make sure to pass it on to you, about kind of the statistical analysis of what is your chance of exposure, and if you're exposed, what is your chance of infection. And it's really, you know, you're talking fractions of a percent
right.
for both of those.
Well, here in America.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's going to be interesting, and I'll track that down.
Yeah, thanks. But those numbers are very, very different in other countries.
Yep. Well, I'll grab this. And it sounds like we may have a phone call here.
Yes, we do. We have Doug from Rochester, New York on the line. What's up, Doug?
Good morning. Back in January, like a billion other people, I upgraded from Windows 7 to 10 and pretty quickly noticed Windows was trying to destroy my hard disk, as Windows will do sometimes. just running and running. You know the deal.
It wouldn't do shut that.
Anyway, you know, showed off a bunch of things as best I could. Anyway, at the same time, I've been popping in a thumb drive with Ubuntu on it, and of course, made the wrong conclusion. I'm like, look, it's not using my hard disk at all. This is great, and that makes sense because it's not running from it.
Right.
But that leaves the question. Once I install it, if I'm just doing the same stuff I do in Windows, maybe one browser window open in Firefox and a Word document open, does Linux tend to beat up the hard disk less than Windows?
Well, I run Linux daily. It is my main operating system. And I almost never see the hard drive light on.
That answers my question, I guess.
Yeah, it does. It depends a lot on how much memory you have and how much stuff you're doing. So if you've got a standard, say, 4-gig machine with, say, like you said, one Thunderbird open or a browser with Gmail open, and then a document open in LibreOffice or a couple of documents open on Google Drive, that sort of thing. In a 4-gig machine, you shouldn't see any activity whatsoever. Now, I will say what's likely happening on your Windows machine is that one of the things Windows does is it indexes your entire hard drive when you first install it. So that it can send, and well, it sends all of that information to Bing so that if you do a search of your hard drive, that actually happens in Bing. And so it is likely that what Windows was doing was that indexing, and that once it was done, it would stop. But under Linux, you can do the same thing, but most people don't. Because most people, honestly, these days don't do a lot of searching of their hard drive.
So, same with me. I don't. I know where things are.
Right. So most people don't.
I also noticed it was indexed in my external hard drive, which I only use for backups. So there was no reason for it to be indexing that.
Is there a way to tell? Is there a way for Windows, Nick, to tell a way for us to tell Windows that ought to be ignored for indexing?
Yes, there are ways to set that up, but because nobody knows it's happening to begin with, nobody knows to make it stop.
All they know is that my machine is chunking along and not
right.
Performance is suboptimal.
Right now,
right. And it's 4 or 5 years old. This machine, I don't want my hard disk to drive. That leads to another issue, maybe just another phone call. But I may be doing a solid state drive at some point soon. And who knows? But
and that's what I did on my laptop. By the way, I replaced the spinning drive with a solid state drive that I put Linux on, and it flies. It flies.
Yeah, solid state is always a big improvement. We're generally seeing about 5x improvement in terms of responsiveness. And for the price these days, considering how cheap they are, you know, if you're looking at $100 or so just to get the device, and you can generally install it yourself.
Yeah.
It's such an improvement that it's an easy recommendation to make.
Yeah. And particularly
if price jump to enterprise grade versus consumer grade, I was just bouncing through an article about that.
If you've got the money, feel free to spend it, but the reality is that no matter what the grade is, they last, you know, the mean time between failure for both spinning drives and solid state drives is 5 years. And what that means is some die out of the box and some last 10 years. So, you know, it doesn't, certainly the speed that they run at and some of the features that you won't use are important in enterprise drives that are spinning.
Right.
But when it comes to solid state drives, a drive is a drive is a drive, really.
Yeah, the enterprise drives tend to have a longer warranty. If you check out the individual specifications for consumer versus enterprise, you'll see that the enterprise ones typically have a warranty that's roughly 2 years longer than the others. Back in the spinning drive days, it was you could buy a hard drive that might have a 3-year warranty, and if you got the fancier model, it might have a 5. But with SSDs, I haven't been following the warranties, but that would be the main difference. So take a look at that,
and just again, to make sure you're current. Or not they have certain features that
wear leveling
enterprise.
And things like that.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. great food for thought. Thank you very much, all of you.
There you go. Problem. Good luck. Have fun.
Thanks for calling, Doug.
We're seeing more and more people going to Linux. We're seeing more and more people going to solid state drives.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense. Again, if you're depending on what you're doing,
right?
Once you've loaded the things you're doing, your hard drive isn't working at all.
Right. Once everything's in RAM, assuming you've got a fair amount of RAM, a sufficient amount of RAM. Then,
right. And on Linux, that's 4 gig.
Right.
8 is of course better.
Sure.
16 is optimal.
Right. The other thing to keep in mind if you are switching to an SSD is that one thing that bit me yesterday, I was getting ready to upgrade an iMac that came with an SSD, but it wasn't as big as the one that I would really like to have inside.
Sure.
So I took the iMac apart, which in these days means you use a special tool that looks like a tiny little pizza cutter, and you wedge it between the glass and the aluminum, and you carefully work your way around the outside edge, and you peel apart this machine that was literally glued together with double-sided tape. Because, you know, screwheads don't look so great in a photo shoot. And what you see is that the connection between the SSD and the computer itself is different than you might expect. So in the old days, you would have an SSD that was kind of the shape of a 2.5-inch laptop hard drive. And it would have a typical SATA connector on it. And these days, it's more common for devices to be using a much thinner, much smaller, much more power-efficient device called an NVMe or M.2 type of connector, and those are completely incompatible with each other. I imagine there's probably an adapter or two, but I spent half an hour taking this apart.
That adapter in the inside.
Well, that's just it. Yeah. You know, with as thin as Apple is making things, there may or may not be enough space to do that. So I was in for a surprise yesterday when I took a machine apart, and now I'm going to work through how to either find an adapter or to order a correct drive that will be fully compatible.
Nice. Nice. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ray from Louisiana. Ray.
Gentlemen, how's your day today?
Peachy, where in Louisiana are you calling from?
Town called Metairie.
Okay.
Yeah. Where is... right on the shore of Lake Pontchartrain.
I see.
Okay.
Now, it's Mardi Gras time down there, isn't it?
They got done with it this past week.
Okay.
It's over and done with.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So it's tough for us Yankees to keep track of that.
I posted this question on the forums. I got an issue with LibreOffice and my Mac that's running Catalina.
Okay.
When I go, say, into a spreadsheet with the ODS format and I save it, it saves fine. It's a little slow. When I do the save as to put it to, like, XLS, LibreOffice crashes. And then it says, okay, we'll restore the original document, and restore the original document.
Okay.
I've even gone on, searched even on the LibreOffice site, and I'm seeing that this is kind of a ongoing issue between the operating system and LibreOffice. I'm just trying to figure if, something is, not compatible or what the problem might be.
Remind me, did you say you were attempting to save it to Excel?
Usually what I do is I have a form and it's in .ods. And
right.
I do a save as to do it in .xls.
Okay.
Or, another format. So I then put all those things over to our Google Drive so that, we have the ability to look at that stuff
right.
elsewhere. But it won't let me... do that conversion process to the other format. The LibreOffice crashes. Now, I never had a problem, but we replaced the hard drive in the Mac and they put Catalina on it. So
right.
I was just wondering if there's a compatibility issue with the two items.
I haven't heard of one yet, and I can do some searching here while I'm talking with you. I'm also finding information that at least PC versions of Microsoft Excel are capable of opening that ODS file format natively. So it's possible that the conversion could happen at the recipient end and rather than at your end. And again, that depends entirely upon where it's headed and who might be opening it and what their capabilities are and what their skill level is. But that could be an alternate idea.
There's also the fact that if you are indeed pushing these up to Google Drive, then Google Drive can do a conversion to its own format. That has two benefits. One is that the next person who downloads it can download it in any format they like. But also, if you save it in Google Docs format, or in this case, Google Sheets format, it doesn't count against your storage.
Okay.
So, for example, I've only got 19 gig of storage, and I've got some 50, 60,000 documents up there, and I've only used 2 gig of my storage because I saved them in Google's own format, most of them, in Google's own format, and it doesn't count against my quota.
Now, to get back to your original question, you mentioned that you were saving things in XLS and that you were trying to save something in a different format previously that was successful. What was the one that worked properly?
Well, any of the LibreOffice programs, you start something in their own version, be it, you know, ODT, ODS, whatever.
Right.
And then we would do a save as and put it to either .doc or .xls. That way, if, you know, we wanted to send it to someone, they could always open up, you know, one of those normal formats. And then I just also just store all those three formats over on Google Drive, because sometimes I want to look at it, you know, using my phone or something and go on, you know, Google Drive and look
right.
at it that way.
Are you using the spreadsheet to organize things, or are you doing actual calculations with formulas?
Actually, some of my spreadsheets do have formulas in them.
Okay.
You know, simple things like add up these columns.
Sure.
You know, I do them for data keeping.
Right.
Maybe a CSV export could be working as an alternative?
It could be. But let me suggest one thing, Ray. In the LibreOffice preferences, and I don't have a LibreOffice in front of me because I'm on a Chromebook, but somewhere in the LibreOffice preferences is an open and save dialogues preference. And one of the choices is use LibreOffice dialogues box. And that should be checked. So instead of using the Catalina save and open box dialogues.
Oh, yeah, the native system.
Right.
One.
You use the ones that are built into LibreOffice. That seems to be working for many people.
Okay. I can give that a try. I know I had to go through and give it full access, you know, the whole
mm-hmm.
program had full access. That was the first thing I learned after we got the machine back. But I just, you know, we always never had a problem just doing the save as, and all of a sudden now I'm having the issue. So
right, it seems to be specifically a Catalina issue.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good news. I'm running Catalina.
That's what I've read. When I've done searches on Catalina LibreOffice, I'm seeing the same issue from other people.
Yep.
So
it's a Catalina issue. Try at least in changing that open save dialog box. See what happens.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
You know, I've got a Mac here running Catalina here in the studio, and I'll download a copy of LibreOffice and see what I can learn during the break.
Nice. All right, is that the music I'm hearing?
Oh, yeah.
Faintly in the background?
That's
We're going
right.
to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we're member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. We had a text from a person who asked if China was, in fact, still closed for the Lunar New Year. Well, that was in January, and no. The problem is that many people go home, travel to their homes, and for Lunar New Year, which means many of the factories were all shut down, but they were also, people were nowhere near them. And then, of course, when the COVID-19 hit, they had a travel ban, so people couldn't get back from Lunar New Year. And the travel ban is slowly being lifted in various parts of the country one by one. But COVID-19 is still hitting an awful lot of people there, and it's a problem that has not been resolved. But Lunar New Year festival has been over for quite a while. It's the travel ban that caught many people out of their area.
Yeah, because right now in China, they got to get a handle on that, because so many hundreds of thousands of people are potentially at risk from just, you know, like the plague, just going through and wiping people out, you know?
Well, it is a plague, and the problem is they've got a billion people in there, and they're crowded.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to manage a plague that's as virulent as this one when people are that crowded. Anyway, back to the phones. Our next caller is Marie from Chi-Lai, New York. Hi, Marie. What's up?
Way, we are attending the Mardi Gras party at Jazz 90.1 tonight.
Good for you.
Yeah, so, and I've got my boyfriend Dennis on the other line listening in, because once you start talking, I may lose you completely. but I'll tell you what the problem is. It's with my laptop. I've got a laptop that's 8 or 9 years old, and my boyfriend Dennis downloaded Windows 10 for me a few weeks ago, and since then, once in a while, I get a message that says your PC ran into a problem and needs to restart, and it just shuts down, and I lose everything I'm doing. You know, like if I'm in the middle of an email, it just goes away. And then it says OneDrive isn't signed in. And then I get another message, but I don't know if we need to do this one at a time or not.
Well, okay, let's start with the big problem, a 9-year-old laptop running Windows 10.
Yeah.
Probably not optimum. The reality is that Windows 10 was designed for much newer hardware, and it's going to be at best horribly slow. And if you've got less than 4 gigs of RAM, then it is likely to have issues. And in fact, very much the issue that you stated, that it ran into a problem, needs to restart.
And one, was it on the recommended list? I mean, yeah, a lot of them will sit there and say, yeah, it'll run. Well, yeah, I can also walk to Buffalo.
Right.
Your shoes will let you. They're compatible with that.
But, you know, it's, again, you said, that, like Nick said, the key word, you know, it's 9 years old. And, it's running it, but you're going to probably have more headaches. Basically, what do you do with the machine? Let's go back to that way.
Oh, mostly emails, and then once in a while I'll just look things up. I'll Google stuff. And that's pretty much about. Oh, I have files, various things I've saved on files, and we have Norton for backup, so we use that.
You definitely want to make sure that this machine is backed up constantly, because that's a problem.
One word I would say.
Yes. Yeah.
Chromebook.
Yeah, take a look at if you honestly you don't play games and all of that stuff.
No.
Then you don't need to spend a lot of money on a computer. A Chromebook will certainly do email, and it will certainly do documents, and you can save them all in Google's Drive and never worry about a machine dying again. But the simple reality is that Windows 10 on a 9-year-old laptop is a problem.
And she'd have one advantage.
What's that? It
doesn't get viruses.
Doesn't get viruses. The Chromebook doesn't. Right.
Excuse me. When Marie got this laptop, it had already had Windows 10?
No, it had Windows 7. But
no, at 9 years old, did not have Windows 10. No, it's not possible.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, he remembered it wrong.
It's okay.
Windows 10 actually automatically downloaded into it at one point. Yeah. They kept sending me notices. After I had the laptop for a while, they kept sending me notices saying to get Windows 10, and I didn't. And then they automatically downloaded at one point. But at that time, I was so busy, I couldn't deal with anything. I just got rid of it. I got rid of it, and I kept Windows 7 for a long time. But then we did put in the Windows 10 just a few weeks ago.
Right. It's an issue that Microsoft has been dealing with. First, Windows 7 is so obsolete and so buggy that Microsoft wants everybody off of 7 for their own reputation. The problem is a 9-year-old laptop cannot run 10 efficiently. Yeah.
So,
or well.
So there's nothing that I could do for the time being to
not really.
The only other thing that you could do, you know, but you're running into very
diminishing
iffy grounds.
Returns,
take it back to Windows 7. Have it uninstall the Windows 10 update and revert back to the original Windows 7 until you can pick out a better machine, because one, you're, like Nick said, you can't do Windows 10 on that machine. So for like $300, You can get a nice new machine. Mm-hmm. It'll do everything that you want. Doesn't get spyware. Doesn't get malware. Doesn't get viruses. And, oh, by the way, you don't have to pay for an operating system.
It's talking free. About a Chromebook.
Yeah, Chromebook.
But whatever you do, whichever way you decide to go, Windows 10 on that laptop is probably contraindicated, as we say.
So what is the risk, though, of going back to Windows 7? Isn't there? Because that's why we went to 10, because I thought that there was a big risk with malware and viruses.
Yes, yes, there is. Windows 7 is buggy and...
And not receiving security updates.
And not receiving many security updates anymore, so that's another issue. But the reality is that a 9-year-old laptop isn't going to run 10 well either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it really is time to look at.
I would say good news. You got you got 10 years out of that laptop, and that's a wonderful achievement.
Right.
And we can celebrate that achievement at the store when we buy that Chromebook as a celebratory response.
But yeah, I'm sorry. The reality is that 9-year-old laptop is pretty much done.
So okay, is a Chromebook? Is that like a laptop? Is that like a small laptop?
It's any size laptop. They make 15 inches and 14 and 13 and 12 and 11.
They come in many sizes and flavors, I would say head down to your favorite local establishment and check them out.
I know the big box stores generally have them.
Right. I would say take a chance and find one, and that's a demo model there, and bash on the keyboard there and make sure it feels the way you'd like it to feel, and make sure that the screen is the size that works best for you. And take it for a spin. Launch a web browser in there and make sure that you can visit all the sites that you want to visit. The people there would be more than happy to help you understand which one would be best for you.
So one other question about putting, with the Windows 10 issue. My messages that I'm getting, could that possibly have been had to do with the, because I have Microsoft Word 10 on it, and I know that it's possible to update the Word programs, right?
Right.
Like somebody I know got Office Suite Word for $30 at Best Buy. So could that be possibly having to do with that?
Nope. The message you got, PC ran into problems and needs to restart, is a Windows message.
Okay.
In fact, putting a newer version of Office on that machine will just exacerbate the problem.
Yeah,
just make it worse.
Because it adds additional drivers and elements to it that, are, again,
right.
Not going to be compatible.
The fact is Windows 10 and Office, the newest Office, are designed for more powerful, faster machines with more RAM. And running them on an older machine is not impossible, just not optimal.
Asking for more issues.
Won't do that then.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Dennis, is there anything you wanted to say or ask about that? Okay.
Okay, excellent.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, the fact is, now you could take a 9-year-old laptop and put Linux on it,
right,
and it'll continue to run. But the other problem you're running into is hardware roulette. You're running 9-year-old hardware. The fact that it might not boot up tomorrow is a very real possibility.
I tell people, don't use any computer that's older than your car.
Yeah. Well, in my case, that would not be older than my car, but that's a separate issue.
But that's a different thing. People that are comfortable keeping their older car running and understand that, hey, there might be a squeak here and a rattle there, but they understand that's part of what's going on.
Right.
That's just fine. And if they are interested in having a computing experience that's probably about as budget-friendly as you're going to get, and you're interested in keeping that rolling as long as you can definitely do that. But if you're the kind of person who leases a new car every other year, or every third year, then
or if you're the kind of person who just wants to turn their machine on and have it work every day.
Sure. Yep. If you have different levels of standards and frustration
and expertise
threshold, that's right.
I don't expect to drill my own teeth. I don't expect my dentist to fix my computer. So
right.
Everybody has a different issue. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Henrietta, New York. What's up, Bob?
Oh, good afternoon.
Hello.
You're probably aware of Firefox is using encrypted DNS nowadays.
Right.
They just pushed that update. And the DNS provider is Cloudflare. I know they've got a they're known for doing like cache services for websites and so forth. But have you heard anything nasty about their reputation? I wonder. wonder is, rather than allowing just anybody to watch what your DNS to spy on you is Firefox just, okay, we want to let these guys spy on you?
Hmm.
Right. Well, let me back up a step for everybody else. DNS over HTTPS, or DOH as they're calling it. Right now, when you use a web browser, we all know about HTTPS.
Sure.
Meaning a secure connection.
An encrypted connection so that nobody can sniff it in between when you asked for it and when they provided it.
Right. However, before it takes you to the website, it does a DNS query, a domain name services query. See, the internet doesn't run on names, it runs on numbers. So if you say, I want to go to google.com, it's got to go to 8.8.4.10 or whatever the number is.
Right.
But it doesn't know that. It has to query a server to say, where is google.com? And that query comes back and says, oh, that's at 8.8.4.10 or whatever.
Yeah, it's a lot like the old school phone book, you might remember.
Exactly. So that query, that DNS query, is not encrypted.
Right. Imagine somebody could look over your shoulder while you're going to the white pages to look up a phone number of somebody you want to call.
Exactly. They don't overhear the phone call, but they know who you called.
They know who you were interested in trying to find.
Right. And so one of the things that Firefox is saying is, well, we can provide one more level of security, which is to also encrypt that DNS query.
Right.
So that people don't even know where you're asking to go. And that's what the Firefox over DNS query is. Now, I honestly haven't paid much attention to the company who's providing their DOH, honestly.
Yeah, and what their reputation might be.
It's Cloudflare. They use two, actually, Cloudflare and NextDNS.
Okay.
They are both trusted resolvers.
I've heard of both of them, but I don't remember hearing anything nefarious about either of them.
Right. They are both trusted resolvers, which basically means that they have been vetted by multiple agencies and departments to say, yes,
and Firefox in general. Mozilla and Firefox in general have always been more security focused than the big G or any of the other.
Or Microsoft or
other
anybody
providers.
Else who provides it, right.
You know, Google is essentially the largest advertising company on the planet, so right. They're very interested in doing what they can.
Bob, are you on a speakerphone?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yep, help us out.
Help us out here, will you?
You're much easier to hear when you're not on the speaker.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's so much better.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you go. Thanks.
It doesn't bother me. I've already turned it off because I run my own DNS server for my network. It's basically a Linux box that's got a full-fledged DNS server in it.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So we're going to have a hard time spying on that.
Okay.
But I was just wondering if this is just Firefox's way of saying, well, we'd rather have these guys spy on you. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I know there's text in Firefox settings. This provider, we've got agreements and so forth where they don't do anything nasty, but an agreement is worth printing on nothing.
Yeah, Microsoft in their wiki does have a DOH resolver policy, which is pretty nice. And they have determined that both Cloudflare and NextDNS meet their requirements. So as of this point, we have not heard anything bad about either of those companies in terms of DNS resolution.
Do you happen to know offhand if they do DNS redirect?
I don't. I've not really looked into either company much at all. You're thinking about doing that, aren't you?
Well, that's why I just chose to run my own DNS server 5 or 6 years ago.
Sure.
I'm not going to put up with advertising instead of DNS results.
Sure. No, I get it. I absolutely get it. But yeah.
Well, you haven't heard anything nasty about Cloudflare?
No, I've heard nothing nasty about either Cloudflare or NextDNS, and Mozilla uses both. So, I haven't heard anything bad about either. And for everybody else, what Bob is talking about in terms of using his DNS to prevent ads, when you request something and when it comes into your own router, you can block certain IP addresses that are known to serve ads. that's the way ad blockers work inside the browser,
that wasn't
too.
That's what I was talking about.
Well, I know, but I'm saying that's one of the things that you can do with that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there are others, but that's a little complex for this.
You ever noticed you do a search sometimes, or so you try to go to an address and you fat finger it, you get a list of search suggestions, which are in reality paid advertising.
Right, that's exactly right. And you can avoid many of those.
Put up with that.
right. No, absolutely get it. But yeah, so far at least we don't know anything bad about either Cloudflare or NextDNS.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, Bob. You too. Yeah, people are getting more and more security conscious. That's mm-hmm. a good thing.
Yeah.
And Firefox is let's be honest, cashing in on that a little bit. But also they are a security conscious firm of their own. So we're very pleased to see that they're doing that. We'd like to see others do it as well, but that's unlikely because, as Dennis said,
there's more money to be made.
Right.
Doing the opposite.
Right.
I do have some real-time follow-up. I did get LibreOffice installed. I took a look at the spreadsheet. When I was saving a couple of columns of information in the native format to my computer, Catalina did throw up a message that said, hey, is it okay if we save things to your desktop from this application? I said, sure. When I saved things that were just plain text, no problem. That saved just fine. The moment I added a rudimentary formula where I just summed a list of numbers and then attempted to save, it did have trouble in the Excel export of
now,
that.
Now try turning on save in the LibreOffice format.
Right. I did turn on the use the dialogues, and I'm attempting to do a save as in a different document, not one that was potentially corrupted by that.
Try
that
saving it
thing.
in your documents folder, not on your desktop.
Okay. I can work on that next, and we'll keep going.
In the meantime, we'll talk to Mark from Greece, New York. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I recently had, last summer I upgraded my older computer with an SSD, and it's working wonderful, and even though I wasn't using it very much, so I decided to bring it upstairs and connect it to the network up here and use it on the TV,
sure.
which is working wonderful. It's, but I'm trying to share documents, and I'm able to share documents and stuff across the computers, but when I go to share media, it doesn't want to find it, and I went to turn on what they said I need to turn on, which is this, in services, this, if I'm correct, this Windows Media Player network sharing
mm-hmm.
service, and when I go to turn it on, it's in automatic, but I go to start it because it's not running, and I get an error, 1068, the dependency service or group failure to start.
Hmm.
What version of Windows are you running?
10.
Oh, yeah.
And I get it on my laptop, and on, which is very new, and on my three-year-old computer up here in the living room, that it's in the other side of the room, and then it works fine on the old gateway where that I upgraded the hard drive.
And is it running also Windows 10?
Also running Windows 10. All three.
So I know that Windows 10 has been having a problem with the Windows Media Server.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't specifically heard that. The error 1068 is actually the Hamachi tunneling engine, but I can put up some things that might help.
Okay.
But they, again, may not, because Windows Media Server is, what's the word, deprecated.
Right.
Now. So getting things to and from it is not really supported by Microsoft anymore. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And if it works for you, God bless you. And if it doesn't, Microsoft isn't going to help.
Yeah, it's working on the one computer.
Right.
That, but that's not the one I need it on also. I need it on the secondary. But anyways,
Now hold on a second. Hold on a second before you move on.
Yeah.
Instead of using the Windows Media Server, you can just try saving it somewhere and then loading it down by hand.
Okay.
As opposed to serving it from the Windows Media Server.
Okay.
That may work better.
Okay. All right. I'll try that.
Yeah.
Second thing I just wanted to say to you is if you get a little bit of time, which I know you don't have, but if you find it, there's a gentleman on YouTube that did a neat trick. He took an old laptop, say 4 or 5 years old, and it had some issues. He took the motherboard out of it, and he converted it with a monitor and mounted it onto the monitor and made an all-in-one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen that.
It was the neatest thing I ever saw. Not that I have the woodworking skills to do what he did to modify the back, but it was amazing.
Right. People are doing that now with Raspberry Pis.
Oh, yeah.
Just sticking them on the back of a monitor. And
well, I showed you the case that I built that I put the Raspberry Pi in. Matter of fact, it was a Pi Zero in this little box that I built.
Yep. And Dave does have the woodworking skills to do this.
And then
so we hate him.
Put it on a 4-inch screen.
Yep.
Next on screen. And it's great.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it was neat. I mean, he took a 20-inch monitor and he mounted this motherboard on there and he got the audio to work properly. He got speakers from an old TV subwoofer and integrated audio. I couldn't believe what he did.
Nice. Nice stuff.
It was phenomenal. What a neat trick.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you. I'll be looking for some of those hints, and I'll try what you said also.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're finding more and more people picking up old monitors, mm-hmm. connecting them to something like a Raspberry Pi.
Right.
If they're new enough old monitors, they have HDMI, and it's easy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you need a converter for whatever else.
Yep. The other thing is that many monitors now have a bolt pattern on the back called a VESA. Bolt pattern that allows you to put a bracket on it or do other things that gets your small form factor PC up off your desk and hidden behind the monitor. And it's a great way to make an all-in-one and have it take up a lot less desk space, and you can hide a lot of the cabling too.
Yep, it's a very cool thing to be able to use that old monitor. Look, you've got a monitor sitting around. You know you have.
Yep, I know I do.
$35 for a Raspberry Pi, and you're on your way, and it all works. All right, this music tells me that we're done for the first hour.
Wow, that was fast.
It flew. Time flies when you're having fun.
That's right.
Also when you're doing radio.
That too.
But don't go away. We're not done yet. We've got a whole nother hour of this nonsense coming along with Dave Enright, with Dennis Worster, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. We are the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites. Right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. Take a quick bio break. I know I will, and then we'll be back with a whole nother hour of Soundbites.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm still Dennis Worster.
Still?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's working out good for me, though.
Well, it's working out good for us, I'll tell you that right now. It is 6 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites. Well, I wanted to say something about the Mardi Gras party.
Oh, yeah. Is that coming up?
It is coming up tonight. As a matter of fact, one of our callers talked about. Oh, Marie talked about going to that party tonight.
Yep.
We should remind everybody that it is the Mardi Gras party. There are still tickets available at the door.
Okay.
It starts at 6:00. Get there early because those tickets may go.
Now, where is it happening?
It's happening at Greece Athena High School.
Oh, okay.
360 Maiden. No, excuse me. It is not.
No?
No, we are.
Let me ask one more time. Yeah. All right. Take two.
Take two. Hey, we'll fix it in post.
Where's this happening?
Good thing to ask. Thank you for asking that. It starts at 6 o'clock at Barnard Restaurant and Party House.
Okay.
At 360 Maiden Avenue.
Okay.
Maiden Lane in Rochester, New York. I can't get
take three.
To save my life. Barnard Restaurant and Party House at 360 Maiden Lane.
Have you been partying already?
Man, I should show you the beads. I should show you how I got the beads.
Hang on.
Yeah. All right,
that's coming tonight?
It's coming tonight.
At the party house.
You get the dinner, you get the cash bar, you get the costume contest, raffles, the live blues concert, 21
nice.
Plus only.
Okay.
Because there is a bar, and it's only $35 a person, and proceeds, of course, go to our station, which we like. So.
And tickets at the door, you said?
Tickets yes. are at the door. All Few you have doors. To do is show up with your money, and bang, you're in the best party of the week.
All right. Saturday night party.
Tonight's the night.
Okay.
Be there or be square, baby.
I'll see you there.
You'll see us there. That's absolutely right. So grab your tickets. Grab your best friend and come down and get your tickets and come to the Jazz Festival. I think the Jazz Mardi Gras evening. I think you'll love it. I think you'll have a great time.
It's always a good time. I heard the food is phenomenal.
The people, the music is going to be great. It's ridiculous that some people, but it's a full Mardi Gras night with blues and everything. So
you
will love it. You will have a great time. So come on down, Bob, in Metairie, Louisiana.
He should fly up.
A little authentic Louisiana here in our Mardi Gras.
Now, is this BYOB? Bring your own beads.
Yeah, bring your own beads. I believe that I don't know if there will be beads there.
Okay.
I apologize.
Well, bring some for you and some for a friend.
Yeah, exactly. And
well, that sounds like a great time.
And while you get yourself ready, we'll talk to Ed from Canandaigua, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Hey, guys. I got a problem with the Thunderbird, and I think it came on about the time that Spectrum and Roadrunner were trying to decide who was going to handle it.
Okay.
Email.
All right, what happened with Thunderbird?
Yeah, but now Thunderbird doesn't allow me to use a password anymore. I can't ask to redo my password or anything. It's just I'm locked out.
Hmm.
The question I have is, I can do without Thunderbird, but my whole address book is in there and I can't get at it. Can you tell me what file the address book is, or give me an idea who I can contact? I've tried to contact Mozilla.
Yeah, that pretty much doesn't work.
That doesn't pan out.
So it sounds like you're trying to launch Thunderbird and get to your mail and get to your contacts, but you're not able to get them to come up on the screen. Do I have that right?
Well, the screen will come up, but then it asks for a password, you know, my username and password.
Uh-huh.
And the password that I use, they don't recognize it, and so it locks the screen.
Okay. So is it asking for the?
Whoa. I'm done.
One. If we might pause just for a minute, the username and password it's asking for, is it the username for the computer or is it the username for your email account?
No, it's actually the email account.
Okay.
Thunderbird doesn't lock your whole screen. You mean it locks Thunderbird?
Yeah.
Or it locks your whole computer up?
Yeah.
Which?
Hmm.
That wasn't a yes or no question.
You said that you start up Thunderbird, it asks for a username and password for your email account, and even though you've attempted to put that in, it's not accepting that input.
No, it rejects anything I put in there.
Okay.
And then you say it locks the whole computer or just Thunderbird itself?
Well, just Thunderbird. I can see the Thunderbird screen, and I can see the last emails that were downloaded back when. But I can't do anything with it.
Well, it sounds like the next thing to do is to make contact with Spectrum and let them know that you're interested in changing your password.
But they wouldn't have any control on Thunderbird.
Yeah, but that's not where the issue should be coming.
Yep, so I think it's that Thunderbird is attempting to make a connection back to the email provider, and it's probably failing. And what happens is Thunderbird, unfortunately, like all email programs, is dumb. It doesn't know specifically what the problem is. It just knows that the connection couldn't be made and was not successful. So it presumes that the problem was that they didn't know what the password was.
With the check the settings on the SMTP and the...
There's a couple of things we can do here. First, are you on Windows 10 or Windows 7?
8.1.
Okay.
This is a situation that a call to Spectrum is probably going to be your best bet, and let them know what you're seeing.
Right. Your address book. Let's solve one problem at a time. The address book that you're looking for is in your profile, and in I'm just looking up where in Windows 8.1 where that is. Okay, so it's under. It's in your C drive.
That's your main hard drive.
Right. In the users folder, there is a folder with your username.
Yeah.
Then a folder called app data, APPDATA, app data. Then roaming, then Thunderbird, then profiles, and then the name of your profile. But the name of your profile is a random number, so... you may have to look in several places.
If you only have one email address configured with Thunderbird, chances are good it should be easier to find. It may be just a single folder in there that has a somewhat random-looking name.
Right. Under that, you will find the address book among many other things.
Wow. So, all right, I've got C users, and then the...
Your username.
My username, then app data, then what comes after that?
Roaming, as in...
Pardon?
Roaming, as in I'm either standing still or I'm roaming around. Roaming.
Gotcha.
R-O-A-M-I-N-G.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yep.
Then Thunderbird.
Okay.
Then profiles. And
profiles.
Then the profile name, whatever it happens to be.
And it'll be numbers.
Right, and inside that will be one of the files that you're looking for.
Right, well, will be an address book among a number of other things.
10 levels deep.
Right.
It's very organized.
Yeah, well, I did talk to Spectrum as soon as this happened, and Spectrum, I've talked to everybody at Spectrum, and they all tell me, we don't have anything to do with your passwords and your mail program.
Oh, yeah?
You know, you'll have to go talk to Mozilla. Well, I go to Mozilla, right back and forth with them. Could never get anybody on the phone.
Okay.
But
I'm going to ask one more question, if it's okay. Is the email address that we're talking about one that Time Warner or Spectrum is responsible for giving you?
It's a Roadrunner.
Okay.
Yeah. Then they are responsible for
regardless of what they want
the
you to think.
Password.
They are indeed responsible for that.
Frankly. If it were a Yahoo address or something else, then no. But if it's a Roadrunner address, it's theirs. But at any rate...
Yeah, but Roadrunner doesn't exist anymore. That's belongs to Spectrum.
Right. And so what you might need to do is to change your account settings. And they can certainly help you with that. That's their job in terms of setting up Thunderbird with their proper account settings. But if what you're looking for is your address book, we've given you the path to get to it.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. They don't seem to think they have any responsibility with it, and they want me to use their webmail. And I got to tell you, I've seen snails and worms faster than that thing.
Yeah. Well, of course they want you to use that because then they don't have to actually help you. I don't mean to be rude about it, but
no, it's not. It's not you. It's the situation that they put you in, unfortunately.
Right.
Okay. Mm. Well, I tried making a new. A new account on Thunderbird for that particular address, but of course it won't take it because it already has the.
Right.
Mail. So, I guess
if you can do that, then you could also, before you put in a password, when it first comes up, get out of that and where you would have created a new identity, instead go to tools, then options, then security, then the password tab. And from there, you can go to the saved passwords and delete your password, and it will ask you for it again when you come up. And they should at least, Time Warner should at least be able to help you with resetting your password before you do that. And that may solve your whole problem.
Well, all right. So that's tools, options,
security, then passwords. There's a tab for passwords under security, and then there's a button for saved passwords. And then you take the account, you go to the account that, and you, like you said, you probably only have one, and you click the remove button, and then you close your way out. And
he can also have it show the password just to make sure that he is typing it in correctly.
That's true. But if you just want to remove it, you can remove it and then type it in again.
One other thing, though, just curious. Now, when he goes in there and goes to sign in, isn't there a, because it's been a long time since I used it, forgot password? And then you can.
In Thunderbird.
Everybody else does that, but they don't.
Thunderbird doesn't have that. In their webmail.
At the provider.
Yeah,
I've got a link here that I'll hand off to everybody here, and we'll put it in the notes for the show here.
Yeah, it'll help you with some of that. But what you probably, if you're in Thunderbird, one thing you could try is just deleting the current password and typing in it again.
Yeah, that doesn't give me that option.
Well, like I said, you go into tools. Options, security, passwords, save passwords, select that password, hit the remove button, close it all out, and then it will ask you for a password.
Yeah, I'll give it a try, sure.
Yeah, give it a try.
All right. Well, thanks for giving us a call.
Have a great day and have a fun party tonight.
Thanks, and we will.
It's going to be great.
Hope to see you there.
Yeah.
So what will happen is Dennis will give me that.
Yep, I'll hand that off to you, and we'll make sure that gets in the notes.
And we'll set that right up on the thing.
Right.
They're not going to happen right now because we're
still we're back to back callers. We're the place to be, as everybody knows.
We are not only a place to be, but the people to be talking to. Apparently,
of course. And what a wonderful thing!
It is a thing of beauty and a joy forever.
Okay.
Yep.
Dave is doing his best here. He's picking up the phone. He's like the octopus with eight arms. He's riding the levels on the board and handling everything and trying to make sure he stays with us on the conversations.
Yep. And we're going to go back to the phones and talk to Brian from Pavilion, New York. Hi, Brian. What's up?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey,
it's all good. You?
Thanks for calling.
I'm doing fine. I might be able to help with that problem with Thunderbird.
Okay. Yep.
I've run into this a couple of times. I like Thunderbird's functionality. Unfortunately, I just got into range of the signal, so I may not have caught that whole call.
Okay.
If the caller is using Gmail as a root account,
nope, it's a
Spectrum
Roadrunner.
Roadrunner, but acquired by Spectrum.
If they are, I've run into this. I just recently updated a few of my Windows machines and did some stuff. Some of these email providers have upped their security, and if he has only one email account and has not provided a text link that they can send him, they will block him to confirm security.
Right.
Okay. It'll be an unsecured access to, or a less secure app is trying to access a secure account.
Right. Yeah. The Roadrunner mail is not that sophisticated. But yes, you're right. For example, if you're using Gmail, they want two-factor authentication.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And they do. And I ran into that actually without even changing anything. I ran into that by adding a Linux. I dual boot a couple of my machines. You know, you primarily run Linux, but sometimes I will run a Windows machine. Long story short, I need to once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of what I downloaded. It was a free Linux program, very secure, very safe. Google hated that. It didn't like it. It started blocking my Thunderbird because it took me forever to find out that if I left my thumb drive plugged in, it wouldn't allow me to access. So I unplugged the thumb drive for my dual boot. It wouldn't allow me. Google said, okay, have your email now.
Hmm.
So.
It's
an odd thing. I don't know what it was. I'll try to post if AskNick or something.
Okay.
What program was it blocked that? But that, if he's doing, I don't know if that caller was sophisticated enough to do dual boot or what he was doing. Again, I didn't hear that.
Right, right. No, he was just a plain Windows user and having problem with 8.1. So.
Okay, great. Well, listen, I just want to pile on. Hopefully, I was able to lend a hand, but you know.
All right.
It happens. Thanks anyway.
Yep.
Oh, you bet, man. Bye.
Thanks for calling in, Brian.
And we love it when our listeners call in.
Yes.
And
especially when they have the right answer.
Exactly.
When we don't always.
We don't.
It's less work for us that way.
Yeah. It works better. Right. Exactly. But yeah, so email theoretically is supposed to be easy, but in trying to make it secure and in trying to do the kind of things that, that Google is doing, sometimes they make it a little confusing. On the other end, someone like Spectrum, who no longer does their own email, they've handed it off, I believe, to Yahoo.
Oh,
I believe, and
okay.
So, you know, that's the way that works.
Okay.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Smiley from Rochester, New York. Hi, Smiley. What's up?
Those people at Spectrum don't know what they're doing.
Thank you for putting it so eloquently. You're saying what we wanted
so
to.
So diplomatically.
Yes.
Thank you again. Next caller.
You have to take when he's in the woods.
Hold on a moment. Please first turn down your radio.
Yes.
Mine?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't ask for
it.
There's something in the background. Are you on a speakerphone or have you got the radio on?
No, I got a... okay, my radio's off.
Okay.
That's still...
Yeah, that's better.
That helps. All right, you were saying?
Okay. I didn't have it on that loud. No, I'm talking on a cell phone. Cell phone. Okay. When he goes in there to set up, they've changed the what do you call it for where it goes. It's got to go smtp-rochester-rr.com.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And the port is 110... and 587, okay?
Uh-huh,
yep.
And the other one is, let me see where I can find it here now.
993?
Dash Rochester.
It used to be
SMMT dash server, okay?
Yeah.
It used to be pop dash server. You know, Rochester and so forth.
Right.
Well, you drop that server out.
Okay.
Okay, and it's just straight pop Rochester and so forth, and then also your ports are 110 and 587.
Okay.
Yeah, you can also do mail.twtc.com as well.
That don't work. I tried that. They told me that once before too, and that didn't work.
Hmm.
All right.
It's
perfect.
Still on their page.
All right. We'll set that. Yeah, it is on their page, but okay. Doesn't matter. We'll figure it out.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting us know.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. The issue is they've been changing it several times. Nobody wants to do email anymore.
No. It's too much hassle.
Yeah.
There's too many ways it's been compromised, and you can't really tell. You can't prove that it's you sending the message without a lot of work, and you can't prove that it was sent by the people who say it was without a lot of work, and everything in between, plus, you know, 90% of the messages you're getting are not related to anybody you wanted to hear from in the first place.
Right, exactly right.
So it's kind of a lose-lose.
Exactly right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Brighton, New York. What's up, Tom? Tom?
All right, if you've got... We can't hear you. I don't know if you can hear us. If there's a mute on your phone, make sure you turn that off.
Tom?
All right, we're...
Dave is trying to figure out the phone system.
Hold on, let's try this again.
All right. We're going to take two on this.
He's only been doing this about 25,000 years. So.
Wow.
Are you there, Tom?
All right.
Hello, Tom. Tom?
Ground control.
No, Tom. To Major Tom.
No?
They have no Tom.
All right, Tom, if you can hear us, call back.
Yeah, sorry, Tom. Please hang up and call back. I don't know what happened here.
But email's tough. It's not any place where anybody's making any real money by providing it. But everybody feels like they got to have it, and the companies are stepping up security, making it more difficult. There's a consolidation of companies too, that didn't used to be something we had to worry about. But when your provider gets bought out by somebody else, sometimes the settings change, and your computer isn't smart enough to keep up with that. And there's no automatic protocol to automatically update your computer to deal with it either. So there's some manual intervention that happens, and people have to call in to support often to deal with that. And with the amount of support calls that come in, that's a job that has a lot of turnover in it too. So the training can be not always as great as people would like it to be.
Yep. I don't know what happened there. I kind of
don't worry.
I don't know what happened to him.
Tom, I'm sure, wants to talk to us. I'm confident he will hang up. He will dial back. He'll say, nope, what I want to ask is too important.
Too important. He can't wait.
Well, he's got to do this and then get ready to go to the party tonight. So
because the party's happening.
So
we've got to
get this out of the way.
Barnard Party House.
That's right.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great.
Live music.
Live music. Blues, not just music.
That's right.
It's going to be straight Louisiana blues.
Cool.
Very cool. And we're...
tickets at the door for that, right?
Tickets at the door. Tickets are available at the door. Doors open at 6 o'clock.
$35.
Per person.
Per person.
Cheap at half the price.
Right. And there's food and a cash bar.
And a buffet is there. I mean, it's going to be a whole evening.
Wow.
Do we have Tom back?
All right.
Tom, are you there? Tom?
Still nothing, huh? All right.
Tom? Lou?
Well, this is the quality radio people have come to expect from us.
Look, we've said this is why we hold drives.
This is it. They're going to hold their back our pay this week.
Pledge drives. this system was never originally designed for.
All right, let's switch gears. Passwords.
Passwords. Let's
Everybody
talk
I talk to says there are too many passwords. I can't keep track of them.
Yep.
I end up using the same one in many places, which they know is bad, but they do it anyway.
Yep.
And they want to do something better with their passwords. They want to know that they've got a different password for each place, but they don't know what to do.
Oh, I hear
okay.
All right. Dial tone now.
That's good. That's good.
That's I heard a dial start. Tone that time.
So what are you doing for passwords, Nick?
Well, there are several things that people are doing for passwords. And in fact, passwords are now considered passé or soon will be.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We can't have that. What should I be doing?
When you tell somebody set a password here, they freeze.
They'll giggle under their breath.
If Tom will have them to call one more time, I had to reset the telco. So we should be okay now.
All right, Tom. This time
okay
for
now.
Sure.
Sorry, Tom. Give us a call.
We are ready to hear from you.
So basically what the deal is that people are using multi-factor authentication.
What do you mean by that?
So in other words, if you do stuff on your phone,
mm-hmm.
often enough now you can use a fingerprint sensor
to
verify yourself instead of typing in a code or a password.
Okay.
If you are using...
Hello?
We have Tom.
Ah. Okay, hello, Tom.
Yes.
Apparently we're going to stop talking about that and talk to Tom instead. Okay, Tom, what's up?
So nice to hear from you.
Okay, so we're talking now, right?
Hello. Yes. It is nice to hear you.
Yes, we hear you.
Listen, I tune in late. I hope I'm not giving a question that somebody's already asked.
We'll answer it again.
Okay. We have Firefox, and, you know, it works pretty good most of the time. Recently, it kind of reinstalled itself.
Okay.
And it seems that we lost our bookmarks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering where we can find those, if possible.
Hmm. Reinstalled itself. I know there was a new version of Firefox that came out recently. Did Firefox update itself?
It probably did, but I didn't think the bookmarks would be lost upon the update.
Yeah, no, typically
no,
the updates are fairly straightforward, and generally they enhance security and performance and are generally not something you have to worry about too much.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might lose the tabs that you have open. But even that is pretty rare. Firefox historically has done a great job of keeping track of things between restarts and after updates. So it's surprising to hear about this.
Yeah. So which version of Windows? Excuse me. Which version of Windows are you running?
Windows 10.
Okay.
Windows 10. Okay. Hold on. We're going to take a quick break. But we'll be back in.
Don't hang up, Tom.
Don't hang up. For heaven's sake, whatever we do now that we got you,
don't
hang
up. Either,
back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, Tom from Brighton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 31 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. And Tom, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Tom from Brighton wants to know where his bookmarks went. Well, I just posted a link at soundbites.org for the Firefox profile location. And that will, theoretically, that location will have all your bookmarks in it, generally in a file called, well, bookmarks. And, or it might be bookmarks.html or .bak or, you know, any one of a dozen bookmark type files. But it will be there in that, assuming that your profile still exists, which I'm assuming it does.
Yeah.
That being the case, you should be easily able to grab your bookmarks out of them, take that file and save it somewhere else, and then put it in a new profile if you want to, or just rename it to bookmarks or bookmarks.html. I forget exactly which Firefox uses.
But make a backup copy of it.
Right.
Does Firefox save the old bookmark file? Will it call it bookmarks 1, bookmarks 2, that type of thing? Or does it completely overwrite the bookmark?
No, there is a .bak file, but just one.
Just one, okay.
Yeah, there was a feature in there that you could back up your bookmarks. Whether you did that or not, but
I do have backups. I do have older backups that we've saved.
All right. Well, but like you say, once you find that location where Nick posted, like he said, grab that file, and then I would make a suggestion of copying that file somewhere else just to back it up and have it in case the one that you're going to do the work on gets messed up or that.
That's great. Yeah, thanks very much. And by the way, I hate to pile on, but I've also, like many of you other listeners, have had difficulties with Spectrum, and I'm in the process now of moving over to Greenlight and a few other online streaming services. I think it's time to cut off.
You'll love Greenlight.
You really will. And in terms of cutting the cord, certainly many people are doing it nowadays. And one thing we suggest to everybody is stop using any internet service provider's email, because if you change providers, changing that email is a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
So if you change it now, you're less, you know, you've got no cutoff date yet. So now is the time to do it. Go to Gmail or wherever you want to go, but
Gmail's the easiest, like I say, and take it from me. I mean, I literally just had a machine. And I was nursing it along. I was using it for some other things. It was an old Windows 7 machine. But it died. And it was a matter of literally just getting a new box. It came with Windows 10. And all I had to do was sign into my Gmail account.
And you were done.
Everything's there. Bookmarks, emails, previous history, everything. I didn't have to worry about a thing. It was already there.
Yep.
One other question, if I can slip it in, unless somebody's waiting.
I think you've done a good job putting up with us and our shenanigans today, so
yeah,
go ahead. Please.
What's the scoop on when Microsoft is going to update or replace Windows 10?
well, boy, that's a loaded question.
Good question.
They haven't said anything then.
Let me put on my...
Your Karnak hat.
Karnak hat.
Crystal ball.
Yeah.
Let me polish it for you here.
What Microsoft has been telling their investors during earnings calls, and you never lie to investors during earnings calls.
Yeah, there's like federal laws about that.
Yeah. What they have been telling their investors is that they want to move away from Windows as it's been in the past, where you buy a copy and put it on your computer. They want to lease you Windows, and they will update it for you, and you'll never have to buy another copy. So updates will work. They'll be rolling updates like Linux has been doing forever.
And like Chrome OS.
like Chrome OS has been doing since day one.
Except you don't pay them separately.
Right, you don't pay them. In terms of Linux and Chrome, it's free. But when my every couple of weeks, sometimes every couple of days, my Linux box says, oh, there's an update. Do you want to install it? I say yes. I don't even have to reboot. It just goes in. And Microsoft is trying to work toward that.
Right. What's the time frame for that?
They don't have a time frame yet. They have not given their investors a time frame.
They've been saying that for like almost a year and a half to 2 years at least.
Yes, the problem is what they wrote is a single gigantic monolithic piece of trash. And they are essentially having to rewrite it from the ground up in order to do what Linux has been doing for, what, 40 years now.
Right, right. And they just did a giant push a couple, well, last month. It's still February. Last month, just to get everybody onto Windows 10. It took them a while to do that. One of the advantages there is that all the developers have a single OS to write against. So know that they're going to hit the vast majority of people. But right. In terms of what's coming next and what the time frame is, I would say keep watching their earnings calls, especially with the interviews that they'll do with the principals of Microsoft, and that is the most likely source of truth.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my hair is starting to turn gray while I wait for this.
Oh, yeah, I'm way ahead of you there, but yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, we wish there were a better crystal ball. But we
one new thing the boss wrote in.
Okay.
Yeah. Said, yes, we have beads.
Uh-huh. Yes, we have beads. So what he is talking about, that was Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen.
I've heard of him.
There is a Mardi Gras party tonight.
When?
Well, it's tonight at 6 p.m.
Uh-huh.
At the Barnard Restaurant and Party House at 360 Maiden Lane.
We've got just enough time to go get our hair done.
We have just enough time and our nails.
Right.
And our toenails in particular. And get that mani-pedi.
Yes.
And head out to the party tonight. There are beads. There's a
this just in
a dinner, a New Orleans themed dinner buffet.
Very good.
Cash bar, costume contest, raffles, live blues.
Now wait a minute. Can I still get tickets to this?
You can get tickets at the door.
Wow.
You just walk up to the door, hopefully in costume.
Yes.
And hopefully you're 21.
You state your intention for the tickets.
21 or older. State your intention for the tickets. Pay them the money, $35 a person, and in you go. In you go. It's a great night out. It will make you happy. It will make your significant other happy.
Mm-hmm.
It would make your insignificant other happy.
Right.
Anybody you want to bring, just fill a car with them and bring them on down.
That's right.
Starts at 6 o'clock at the Barnard Restaurant and Party House at 360 Maiden Lane. Or,
okay.
Of course, Google can get you there.
Of course.
It's going to be, there will be performances by Bill Schmidt and the Blues Masters, as well as Hannah P.K., it's tonight. It's part of the of our annual Mardi Gras celebration. Proceeds, of course, benefit this station, which is even better.
Right.
Than just not only are you going to a party, but you're helping the station. Get dressed now. Don't wait. Get
That's
down
right.
there. It's at 6 o'clock. You got 4 hours and 15 minutes before.
Well, you want to get the good parking spot.
You want to get the good parking spot. Absolutely. It's going to be an event for the ages. Don't miss it.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Yes, we will. And in the meantime, while everybody else is getting ready, I'm sorry, Dennis from Rochester, New York. The other Dennis, you're going to be a little late getting your costume on for the party. What's up?
I think I've got an answer for that Firefox issue because I ran into a problem with the newest update of Firefox. They completely deleted my profile.
Okay.
So after I looked around, I found that I should do a type in the run command.
Yeah.
Firefox.exe space dash P, capital P.
Okay.
And that brings up the profile manager. So what you do is you create a new profile, you give it a name,
right,
and then you go to where Nick previously said to go look for your profile. You open up that profile folder, you copy, you select all, copy the whole profile folder,
uh-huh.
do a copy on that, then go to the new profile you created and copy the contents of the old profile into the new profile folder that you created, and it got my bookmarks back.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
All right, so you created a second profile, and then you took the contents of the first one and copied it into the second one. Do I have that right?
That's correct, and you use the profile manager, firefox.exe, space, dash, capital P.
Got it.
Profile manager.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting us know.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
All right. Goodbye.
Thanks. Nice. you all right there? I have posted...
Sorry, it's his first day.
It's his first day. I have posted the Firefox profile location and changing Time Warner cable email password links on the Soundbites webpage. This is a...
it's real-time follow-up here.
It's real-time follow-up. I will also then publish a link if it ever shows up. Okay. In the meantime, I don't know what just happened there. How interesting is that?
Yeah, we'll get it figured out.
Figure it out. All right. In the meantime, we will go to our next caller, who is Ernesto from Parenton, New York. Hi, Ernesto. What's up?
Hi. Listen, just a little advice.
Okay.
What do you think about the virus program, Total AV versus separate programs like Viper, anti-spyware, and Malwarebytes?
Well, Malwarebytes and any of the antivirus programs do two different sets of things. So you should run both anti-Malwarebytes and an antivirus program. Total AV, is that the one you were asking about, Total AV?
Total AV, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. At securitytango.com, I list a number of Windows antivirus programs. I don't list that one. But I list a bunch of others. Total AV is a good one. I just didn't have it listed. I don't honestly know why. That's a good question.
Hmm.
At any rate, it's very good. All of them have their strengths and weaknesses. That's why we suggest that people run both an antivirus program and Malwarebytes. And anti-spyware is something you should run regularly, but you don't need to run it constantly in the background. As well, because when you're talking about a Windows machine, there are a billion people trying to hit you, and you might as well be safe.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for giving us a call, Ernesto.
Thanks. Bye.
Goodbye.
Thanks. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff on the Tango links and Windows software for antivirus, anti-malware. Firewalls, rootkit removers, file recovery, even stuff for Windows 7.
Right.
For those of you who just cannot move into the 21st century. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Pat from Batavia, New York. Hi, Pat. What's up?
Well, I was just talking to my wife.
Uh-oh.
No. We were talking about this kind of call-in show, Pat. and you know how in the old days with photographs, you'd take pictures of them, and you would never write down who it was, so when it comes time to clear out your parents' house, you know, who's this?
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Right. So I got thinking, well, okay, now people are doing all digital photos, and what would be the equivalent to solve that problem with a digital photo?
That's a fantastic question.
It depends on how you're saving those digital photos. If you're doing them on something like Google Photos... each photo, there's a little eye in the corner, and you hit that, and now you can type in anything you want, which is related to the photo, and so it gets saved with the photo.
Okay, so I have the Google Pixel 3A.
Yep.
So is that eye that you're talking about, is that when you're taking the picture or after it's already taken?
Either one.
Oh, okay.
Either one. You can annotate... Well, now I'm
going all right,
to
he's reaching sure. for the pocket.
I'm just going to make sure that I also have a Google Pixel 3A. Yep. I'm going to take a photo of the handsome and charming Dennis Worcester.
Hello.
And
ladies.
I have done it. Hello, ladies. Now I go look at that picture
Now, how are you going to annotate it?
He's investigating just to make sure he's still telling the
We're
truth to himself.
We're doing this live without
this
a net.
Right. Live support. Drum roll.
And,
wheel the timpani in, will you? All right. Okay.
I don't have one.
Budget cuts.
You can do all kinds of things you can do with this. This is pretty amazing.
Crowd goes wild.
While he's investigating that, I can tell you if you are an Apple user, Apple's Photos application has had the ability to do face detection for a long time, and it will allow you to identify people in the photo. And once you identify the person once, as you take more and more pictures, it will make an educated guess based on measurements of the person's face, how far apart their eyes are, how big their chin is, a number of other measurements that it takes to guess who might be in this photo. And it will ask you, hey, is this the person that we think it is? Is this Aunt Edna? And you say, yep, that's her. And then when the next picture comes along, it'll say, oh, this looks like a different picture from 5 years later. Is this Aunt Edna? And most of the time, you're going to find that it's going to be more and more correct as time goes on. And I think this is going to be fantastic for genealogy in the future.
Right. Google does the same thing.
Yeah. I have Windows Millennium, so...
Well, but your phone, you can say... It doesn't... You have Windows Millennium. We're hanging up on you if you say that again.
Whoa!
But one of the things... Google Photos does that as well.
Okay.
So when you, in fact, go to search for someone, you not only can type it, and your picture's already up there.
There I am.
So I can now go to this picture.
Right.
So, yeah, it happens. It seems to happen in Google Photos, not in the phone itself.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay.
At least I can't find it while we're looking at it. But I can hit that eye, and I can hit that eye. I
tend to do it more like that than while you're going, because you're moving on to some other pictures you're taking and that.
Right.
You don't want to
say, okay, pause here while I make a little cute notation. So, yeah.
So I've now saved it as Dennis Worcester, and if I, which may be a mistake, but I did it. But now, if I go to search for something, one of the things my phone will do is bring up pictures, all the faces it's found.
Uh huh.
And so, if I'm looking for pictures of my daughter, I just click on her face, and there they are.
Right.
Or I can type in Amelia because I have identified her.
Yes.
In the photos,
and then it will come back with all of the pictures that she happens to be in.
Exactly. Or I can type in blue car.
Mm-hmm.
And get all the blue car photos,
or Christmas tree.
You're just showing off, Nick.
yeah. But that's I did not write Google Photos. I hasten to start with that. But that is Google Photos itself. And if you have a Pixel, you can set your phone to automatically save everything to Google Photos.
Yep.
And you can save it. Theoretically, the Pixel 3a, you can save it in full resolution. Without taking up any space at Google Photos. So I've got, again, 50, 60,000 photos up there and taking almost no space whatsoever. And you can share those photos with people. You can send them to people. You can create an album. You can share the album. So it works out pretty easily and pretty nicely no matter what your phone is. In fact, Android people do that, and so can iOS people. So you can annotate the pictures online, which means that anyone you've shared them with, and let's be honest, at some point you're not going to be around anymore, but those pictures are still there and still shared.
Amen. Well, I'll get off the line in case anybody else wants to jump in with a question in the last couple minutes, but thank you so much for your answer. I listen all the time, but up the last few weeks I haven't had any questions. So,
well, that's good.
Maybe I'll make it to Thursday meeting, right? That's just coming up.
That's coming up this week. The Rochester Googles meeting is this Thursday. St. John Meadows will St. John's in
Brighton.
Brighton, and we'll mm-hmm. be there. If you've got a question, bring your Chrome device and we'll be all there together. It'll be a lot of fun.
Sounds like we made it.
Thanks,
goodbye.
Pat. We made it to the end. Music tells us we're done for another week. A sigh of relief goes out through the land. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Dennis Worcester, who came in and gave up his Saturday to join us.
Happy to do it.
It's a joy for us to have you here. We're overjoyed always to have you here. Steve Ray, of course, one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest with the Hole in the Head gang.
But a communique from Mr. Ray says that you can also use the markup feature to type onto the picture itself in case you want to
You can do that in
notify.
Either
All the different tools
right, all the tools do that. And we'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great and Truly Grateful to You That We Are member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in just 166 hours. Be good to each other, will you?